Thank you so much for joining Losing My Religion podcast. My name is Joshua Preston. Today we have a new episode for you. We hope that it encourages you and through the discussions to what our part, our journey, and maybe even what the Holy Spirit is revealing in your heart with it. We hope that it encourages you and helps you on your way, helps us to enjoy more of His love for us, enjoy the relationship that we have with Him, so that we can actually be better human beings, be the human beings that He has created us to be, to love one another just as He loves us. So we hope that you enjoyed this episode. And if you love our podcast, please subscribe and share. And you can actually become a podcast contributor if you like to. If you feel led to, if you don't, and we're absolutely fine with that. So we hope you enjoyed this episode today, and we look forward to having more discussions with you in the future. And so enjoy.
Have to say, mm-hmm. or having expectations of who you are and what they think you should be doing. I think during and while you're doing it, you'll end up finding more of yourself. Yeah, and you'll find some other stuff you may not like. Mm-hmm. But it starts to put you more on your path of where you need to go. And in your healing process.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So
it's so important.
And I have a question for you. And this, I think, and I might know the answer, which I think is really good. And we might talk about, because I think you kind of hit on it earlier. So as a person, a white male to the white community, what can we do to help as well?
That's a great question. I have a very good friend of mine, white male, and we talk candidly about racial stuff. And that's a relationship that's been developed over years. So it's not a new relationship where something happens and, you know, they're texting me and saying, what can I do? So, you know, build these relationships over time. That's one thing, you know. Don't just wait until something happens and then that's when you show up. It's just tiring, because now I'm put in a position of teaching while I'm hurting. Correct. You know, mm-hmm. and I don't want to teach while I'm hurting. When I'm hurting, I just want my friend to show up and be present. Bring me a meal, bring me some water, bring me some chocolate. Bring me something, you know, rub my feet, you know, something. When I'm hurting, I need my white male friend to just show up and be present. You know, this is not the time for me to be teaching. Mm-hmm. And I think, so developing those friendships over time and be genuine about those friendships. And then the second thing is do your own work, you know, don't put the onus on me to have to research, because again, that could be traumatic for me, because I'm learning about one more thing that has been wrong, you know, in our society that they did to us, so that I can teach my white male friend, you know, about injustice. You know, I love watching my white friends doing their own work. They're listening to their own podcasts. They're discovering truth. They're, you know, going to their own protests. They're not asking me which protest, because what that tells me is that you're doing your work. Mm-hmm. You know, you are supporting in a sense of doing your own work, you know, like I am. And then they're risking, they're taking risks. Mm-hmm. You know, I love that my, you know, white friends are able to take risk and speak up when it's time, when it's necessary, and use their power and privilege, when, you know, as necessary, and that all of the burden is not on me. And so I think when my white friends do that, it just creates a safer place for me to engage with them. Mm-hmm. It creates a safer place. Then I feel safe with you. Mm-hmm. Then I can engage with you. But if you're silent and, you don't show up. We saw each other a couple of times, and then all of a sudden you pop out. I don't trust you. You know, I don't trust. I think you will harm me, just like the others. And so it's very important to not make our relationship, you know, a relationship on convenience, but a relationship that's built on really solid ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think even this time that we're in now is actually the perfect time to develop solid friendships.
Absolutely.
Real relationships. I don't think you can truly be a friend to someone or you know, understand your friend if you don't understand their struggles and the pain that Absolutely. They've had.
Correct.
And things are out on the table now.
Mm-hmm.
The veil has been lifted.
Absolutely.
In a lot of ways. So it's, and you know, I think for people, some people are just really just scared. They don't know who to talk to, who to, you know, ask out for you know, to go hang out with, you know, whether it's going for a walk, because they're just so scared of, I don't know, backlash or,
yeah,
you know, people that are not of color.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah. You have to take, life is about taking risks.
Risks. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I agree with that. That risk really shows that you care.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's not just a stunt. It shows that you care. You truly care. You're willing to risk yourself for another.
Right.
And that's love. That's the definition of love.
Right. Right.
And that to me, and I've seen that because I see it from, especially on my side, and I can really see it more. And I challenge them to speak up and speak out and know that what is right, and what is wrong,
right?
And I'm in the church community, and I go after these passing leaders, my own colleagues, you want to say, and I go after them and say, you need to speak up,
mm-hmm.
you
mm-hmm.
know, Jesus, and you know, this is wrong,
right?
And you know, darn well. If this was the gospel, he would say, this is wrong. But he has you here, which you're the body, and you need to say, this is wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you need to create this place. And that's the part that kind of always got to me, is that, especially in the church, is that pastors and leaders, they're silent.
Mm-hmm.
And then they want to talk to their Black members and try to be silent and not hear their pain. And it's like, all you're doing is adding to the pain.
Right. Right.
And you know, and I think you, because you know, most people go, especially in your position being a pastor, like, you just pray to Jesus and you're healed. Well,
mm-hmm.
you
mm-hmm.
are doing the healing.
Yeah.
You are the embodiment of Christ performing the act of healing in your community.
Yeah.
And that's
hard work. Yeah, it's hard work. I would say consistency too.
Mm-hmm.
For my white brothers and sisters to be consistent, to not get weary of doing good. You know, I think it does cost. Love costs.
Yeah.
To love a brother and sister, you know, of a different race, it costs. It will cost something.
Yeah.
But it's so important to show up consistently and to risk something.
Yeah.
And I think that's where they can show up in this season. They can show up and be consistent and be authentic and yes, we may be, you know, we may be a little prickly, because this season is prickly.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
It is not supposed to be comfortable.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. And talk about the cost. And I share this. I have actually lost an uncle over this stuff. Who, and it's right there blaring. It was all over social media with it. And I even have cousins come up to me. Like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, yep. I mean, this is the price. And it is what it is. And I pray for him and everything. But sorry, it's
this is not okay.
This is not okay.
Yeah. It's not okay.
I'm so, Jill, I'm so glad you said that. I we're not going to keep you too much longer, but this conversation has been healing for me. Very insightful.
Good.
And just a reminder in a lot of ways of how important it is to how important it is to for healing.
Yeah.
How much it's really needed.
It's crucial. And we didn't even talk about the intersections for women.
Go ahead.
And I use, for Black women, women of color, and, you know, because the intersections of race and gender creates a compounding impact of pain. And so for women, I say, you know, it's not if, ands, or buts about your self-care. It's how deep, to what degree, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's radical. It has to be so radical for women. You know, Black women, our self-care has to be radical. Our healing has to be radical because the disparities and the oppression is radical, you know, and it's consistent and it's persistent and it's unrelenting. And so our self-care has to be every day, nonstop. You know, it's not waiting till the weekend. It's every day. What am I doing to take care of myself? Am I breathing?
Yeah.
Am I drinking water? Am I taking deep breaths? Am I stretching? Am I doing yoga? Mm-hmm. Am I going for a walk? Am I connecting with my friends? Mm-hmm. Am I in places where I'm loved? Am I cared for? Am I reminded that I am created in the image of God and I am worthy? You know, am I speaking positive affirmation to myself? So for Black women, it is a must. It is necessary. And it community is needed around Black women because it's coming from so many different sources. The pain is coming from so many sources. And so for us, we have to carve out time in our day, every single day, 7 days a week, 24/7, for our healing, for our self-care.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more on that. And because I see that with my wife, and you know, because it's interesting. Like I said to her the other day, a couple weeks ago, when you had the nomination of Kamala Harris, and I said, how does it feel to have somebody look like you, be potentially who's been nominated for the position of Vice President of the United States? And she, you know, her response was, it feels good. But and my thing is, and then it was interesting after that day, is that you heard the onslaught of degrading women, mm-hmm. people of color, and it's mm-hmm. like there was like a double whammy,
mm-hmm.
and you can see that. And,
yep.
And you know, it's not just Black males, and they say that, but Black women.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the double whammy.
Yep.
Of all, like, if you want to put it there, it's quite despicable to see it. But you're right. There's so much healing, and thank you for going after Black women to have them to deal with the trauma.
Yeah.
I mean, that's huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't even imagine you were talking about the women from South Sudan talking like that.
Yes.
Wow, I can only imagine. Like I love hearing people's stories, no matter good or bad it is. But just to hear people talk,
about
pain, to me, I think that's beautiful in a way because it begins the healing process.
That's a huge step for a lot of people. I mean, I've been more vocal than I think I've ever been about what's going on within me, especially to other people outside of you. And Joshua has been just wonderful at just listening.
That's good.
Which is what's really needed. Especially for those who are not Black.
Yeah.
Just to sit and listen.
Yeah. And it's sit and listen and not be afraid. You know, I said something earlier in this podcast just about listening to Black women's anger. there are limited space. I don't know if we can find any space outside of our girlfriends or maybe family where we can be angry, and for that anger to not be feared or demonized, you know, and being angry is a part of the healing process. It's a necessary part of the healing process, right? Mm-hmm. And so to even have space where we can be angry and for it to not be spiritualized and say, you know, anger is not from the Lord, or, you know, put your anger in check or something like that. You know, yes, of course, be angry and not hurt anyone and not, you know, put yourself at risk or other people at risk. But we're not talking about that kind of anger. We're just talking about anger that is verbalized, you know. Anger that you express, anger where you can say, I am ticked, I am mad, and I'm angry by what's happening. There's no space for you to say that without people, you know, stereotyping you or demonizing you or making you look like some monster. No, it's just anger, you know, and that's healthy. It's an emotion. It's like every other emotion, and it's healthy. So for Black women to have those spaces to be angry and be loved after your anger, you know, that's, not in the church. I have not seen it in the church.
I haven't either. And I think, which is why so many people turn to, and it's not a bad thing. I encourage it. People turn to music, they turn to writing, and we encourage that more than ever, but there also needs to be other people that need to
just speak,
step will also step up and change their minds about how they even see, for example, anger and how that plays a part in a racial trauma,
exactly,
and systematic racism.
And that, because I mean, as soon as somebody sees a Black woman be angry, you hear, here comes the angry Black woman. And I can tell you,
the stereotype.
I've heard that growing up. And it's like, okay, what about you? I guess you're the angry white person.
But who takes the time to ask maybe that person, that friend or that person that they know, why they're angry?
And just listen. Really,
yeah.
Slow to speak, quick to listen. James 1:19 And to me, and you said right, it's an emotion. God gave us the emotion. Now, do we need to learn how to express it? Yes. Which that comes through, and I truly believe this, through our relationships that we have with one another. And that, and God, through those relationships, helps us to process it in the right way. Where, like you said, I can be around a group of people and say, I am angry by this situation, and they're like, okay, keep going,
and believe them, and believe them. Yep.
So, I think we need to open up ourselves, and man, I have such a desire to see our communities move forward and be a community where we can look at one another. And yes, see color, because color is a beautiful thing. If God didn't want us to have color, he would make us all the same. Or just made us strictly colorblind, not see. But he made us this way, which is a beautiful thing. But to see color, recognize it, celebrate it, and stick up for one another, and not allow others to degrade one another because of what they look like. And I think that's, and I want that. And I know, it's like, we can change laws, that's great, but the hearts and the healing needs to take place.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I also say this, people on the other side who create racism, and I say this, they have experienced trauma too.
And oftentimes, many stuff, of those stuff going people, on there too. They don't have a place, a safe place to talk about it, so they don't. So they internalize a lot of things. And they react in these ways that are very hurtful.
I don't know if you ever talked to Bob Prather, who wrote with Arnita in the last book that they wrote. what he talked about in the book, he his dad, he grew up in a house that was racist.
Hmm.
And you think about that, he was born to be a racist in the sense from the trauma from his family.
Hmm.
But he was able to break out of that.
Hmm.
Find healing. Yeah. He found healing by learning that someone he was brown skin, black skin, it's pretty cool people.
And he doesn't and he does not deny what is happening.
Nah.
Yeah.
Even though he's learned different ways and has different perspectives about stuff, he doesn't deny the experiences of
mother.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, that's good. That's good stuff. Yeah.
But yes, and before we end this episode and stuff, I want you to give us, and we'll make sure we write it all down. But could you provide everybody, tell everybody your contact if people want to reach out to you with questions, talk about stuff, or even get professional counseling in this area, if you can give that to everybody.
Yeah, I'll make it super easy. If they go in onto my website, DeulaPrevlon.com, DIEULA, Prevlon, PREVILON.com, and they will find all my contact information and social media handles and all of that. So that's the easiest way to do it.
Awesome.
Thank you so much. We have to definitely have you back on here again.
Yes, I would love to.
Yeah,
I might even get Arnie on here too, because then she would
oh, now, yes, that would be a party.
That's my girl right there.
Yes,
for sure.
But thank you so much. And if you have any questions, if you email us, and if you reach out to us with this, we'll try to give you information as well. To that is at hello@losingmyreligion.love.
And to our listeners, for new episodes, tune in every Monday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Till next time, we love you.
Bye.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast at Losing My Religion. If you'd like to show your continued support, subscribe and share. And if you like, you can give monthly of no more than $10 at the link in the description below. It helps us to keep doing what we love to do, which is this. Thank you.